Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. As I was just talking with our guest about, it's the May the 4th be with you day. little play here today. So, yeah, I hope everyone's having a great day, had a great weekend. Pass. How about yourself, Bruce? Did you stay obviously safe? Anything new and exciting happen at the old ranch this past weekend?
No, actually planted a garden for our organic friends, a little organic garden with vegetables and basil and spearmint and all kinds of stuff. So we have this garden that we plant every year, and we got on the garden track there, and it's too windy to fish, man. That wind blows. That West Fort Worth wind, man, it just blows. So got out in the garden and did some gardening. So
getting the organic on. I like it.
Yeah. We had a bunch of food trucks. I don't know what's going on here. We had a bunch of food trucks come in, and that was good, so we didn't have to cook or anything. And so it's fun. Yeah. How about yourself? Sounds like you were living the dream yourself there at the.
Yeah. You know, so Saturday was just roasting hot out here. I mean, obviously for where you are too, out here in South Lake, we were in the 90s on Saturday. So I did a little full time. I did some real estate stuff. So I finished my stuff this past weekend, which is
congratulations.
So for another 4 years, I can effectively sell real estate in California, which is exciting because it's always a good line of business to have. And then, yesterday I played some golf, actually. It was a beautiful day. Sweated my freaking ass off, though. It was humid as could be. I think I went through about 12 waters. It was gnarly, but it was a good round. Good to get out there. So
excellent.
Yeah. Weekend though, I'm excited for this week, and this week, you know, as you know, for our listeners out there, we've obviously been continuing the series. Now I know last week we had, you know, a wonderful guest EJ Cruz on. We have another great guest, which I'm excited to introduce to you here in a moment. But around coronavirus and certain aspects of coronavirus on how you can really leverage the government programs, the grants and whatnot that are out there to effectively continue to keep your business afloat, right? And in some ways even, you know, manage and thrive through the storm. So I thought it was prudent, you know, first of all, you know, she's a good friend of mine, but she's also someone that I share in common with the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce, and we're in the same leads group as well. So, you know, when before coronavirus hit, I saw her every couple weeks, every Wednesday or every other Wednesday morning, I should say, at Leeds Group. So got to know her pretty well. It's Miss Tara Bukowski. And so Tara strives to guide businesses, families, and individuals with the accumulation and preservation of wealth through comprehensive financial strategies. She utilizes her knowledge and experience in combination with the expertise of a team of specialists available at Tax and Financial Group, where she currently is. Together, they provide innovative solutions and professional direction to help clients work towards their financial goals and objectives. Tara specializes in comprehensive approach to her financial services practice that addresses business succession and exit strategies, investment advisory, qualified and non-qualified retirement solutions, charitable gifting, legacy planning, and insurance. She received her MBA with a focus in marketing, as well as her master's in special education from Chapman University. Tara currently holds her Series 7, kudos to you, that's a hard one to get, I know, and Series 66 registrations, and her life and health insurance license as well. She's a registered representative and investment advisor representative, or Securing Financial Services, Inc. member for FINRA and SIPC. In addition to her responsibilities at Tax and Financial Group, Tara is a member of Chapman University MBA Alumni Board, as well as Orange Coast Optimists. In her free time, she likes traveling, playing pickup basketball with her sister. Without further ado, let's welcome Ms. Tara Bukowski to the show. Tara, welcome.
Hello, hello. I'm going to make sure I didn't do anything. And am I muted? Am I good? Like everyone has those issues.
You are good. Welcome to the show. We're so excited.
Thank you.
You and I have been talking about you coming on this show for a while now, so I'm glad we finally had you.
And actually,
truth be told, I'm actually somewhat glad we waited until now that we have the Zoom, so people can actually, you know, get to know you a little bit better through the visual, through Zoom and all that too. So I think it all worked out how it was supposed to. So I know I just introduced you a little bit, but outside of your professional bio, if you will, why don't you share a little bit in your own words about yourself for our listeners out there?
Yeah, so born and raised in Orange County, was those typical ones that never left the bubble. If anyone's familiar with Orange County, you know that Chapman is in Orange, California, so that's actually a place. But born and raised here, so absolutely loved it. You know, my typical millennial self, my thing is traveling, so that's my get out of Orange County card all the time. But grew up down here, big family, grew up playing basketball, still play basketball to this day, or at least I try my hardest.
Are you tall?
Still play. I'm 5'7", so comparatively, no, but I'm part Japanese, so I'm in a Japanese American Basketball League, so I'm tall, comparatively,
okay,
gotcha. But slow. Yeah, Asians can run pretty fast.
I like that. I'm the point guard for an Asian league. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Cool.
I'm kind of a post player because that's how tall I am compared.
All right.
So played basketball my whole life, big basketball family. But my background's actually in special education. So that was my formal education back at Chapman. I have my master's in special ed, mod severe. So that was really my life path. And I just had a quarter life crisis, like I think some of us or many of us have these days, or might be having them now in lockdown. But I just didn't see myself teaching till the day I retired anymore, even though they give you great benefits. So I figured, what in the world am I going to do now that my entire background is in education? I don't know any business jargon, God forbid, even a balance sheet income statement. So I went back to get my MBA, and I was a deer in headlights for, gosh, at least the first 6 months. What in the world did I get myself into? But I still wanted to do some sort of nonprofit or charter work within the business side of education. Still felt like I could change the world for, you know, my kiddos and the special needs community. Took a couple finance classes, and I realized I'm my mother's daughter because my mom is a CFP for the last 30 years at our firm. And I realized I really love finance. So that's really how I got into the whole financial planning world. Is I've always been in it indirectly, I guess. I've always known about a Roth IRA and what you should have in your savings and investing. Things that I guess I took for granted growing up, things that we probably should be taught and we're not in school.
That's
really how I got into it. So I applied at the firm, didn't even tell my mom. She saw me one day and she's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I just interviewed. the rest is really history. So I'm in the midst of, you know, building my practice, getting to work with my mom every day, which is interesting. You know, it's actually really good. But that's really how I got to Tax and Financial Group. We're a small boutique firm in Newport Beach, California. Can't complain about where we're at, but interesting times, right, for everyone working from home and trying to figure it out and realizing you don't have nearly enough Wi-Fi that you probably would need nowadays. So, but it's been good. So that's really how I got to where I'm at now. And
Yeah, I'd be curious, Tara. You know, I'm going to go a little off script, as I told you I would from time to time. Curveball right out of the gates here. But one I know you'll be able to handle, no problem. you know, what has been probably the most interesting or unique thing that you have seen at Tax and Financial Group, you know, since COVID hit, right? Mm-hmm. And perhaps it's a certain unique case that has come across your desk or a request, or maybe it's just a generalization. But I would just be curious, and I'm sure all our listeners out there, right? Because one thing we've talked about, just to share some perspective, for the last about 8 weeks now, as we've been on this COVID series for this podcast, it is financial security, financial planning. And even though we're not the experts, we're definitely not, and neither Bruce or I are claiming to be, you know, we've tried to share little tips and nuggets here and there, at least from articles or whatnot we found on the internet. But I'd be curious, as a true professional, someone that's highly certified in the arena, kind of what you've seen and what's been most unique, or maybe a couple scenarios that have been unique that you've seen come across.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's such a broad question because our clients are so diverse. I work with business owner clients who I would say 9 out of 10 have been negatively impacted by this in some way, shape, or form. So I guess some situations is what you guys might have talked about in previous podcasts is the PPP, right? That payroll protection, right. And how quickly those funds got exhausted, which we speculated they would have went fast, but you know, as quickly as they did was really shocking. And even people that applied day one, they didn't even really hear back from their lenders. So that's a really big one, is finding out how quickly the funds got exhausted and, you know, how can these business owners or even employees make sure that they can still pay their bills right now? So a big thing we've been seeing is right now with the CARES Act, right, we are able to tap into any sort of retirement plan, right, any qualified plan we have. And we're not subject to that penalty right now. So that's something that they're allowing us to do. And it used to only be $50,000 we could take out of our retirement plan, but right now we can take up to $100,000. And in order to qualify to do that, you have to be affected by COVID-19 in some way, whether you have the illness, you have a family member within your home that has the illness. And as simple and I guess gray area as, hey, if your work hours are reduced, you qualify. Or if you can't find childcare right now and your work hours are being compromised because of that, you qualify. So basically, I think everyone could find some way to qualify right now.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know, everybody does. I mean, so that's the way that we've been really trying to help our business owner clients, and even just their employees, because they have qualified plans and they can take up to that $100,000 without paying that extra 10% penalty if they're under 59 and a half. So that's a big thing we've been working on with business owner clients. And another thing, which I guess makes sense when you really think about it, is everyone really gets motivated out of fear, is so many people all of a sudden are like, I need life insurance. So that's a big thing, is people fearing, okay, I've been meaning to get my ducks in a row, or I've been meaning to do some sort of planning, but now it's really the time. We're all busy. Life is crazy. You know, the last thing we want to talk about is us potentially dying prematurely. That's not a fun topic to have at any point in time. But with stuff going on right now, this is definitely on the forefront of people's mind, or thinking, you know what? Maybe I didn't get sick, but if I did, or if something happened to me, would I be okay with what I would be leaving behind, or the situation I could be leaving behind? So that's really a big thing we're doing, is truly the comprehensive planning for our clients is the biggest thing to make sure, hey, how are you invested? We've had some great, great years in the market, right? How are you feeling now? I know you wanted to stay pretty aggressive, but, you know, why stay in the game if you've already won, kind of situation. So we've been really helping our clients identify the type of money they have and the different goals that they should have with, you know, their dollars and what they want to leave for their legacy too.
I would imagine, and, you know, we've talked to some others, I'd imagine some of those conversations are kind of difficult, though. But if you are proactive about them, you know, letting them know, hey, you know, this is what is to be expected. You know, obviously, we're seeing a major softening in the market right now, blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to put it in your language, which I'm probably not doing a good job of. But, you know, that you could somewhat kind of mitigate, you know, not mitigate the risk, but put them at ease a little bit, right? Because I'm sure a lot of your clients you work with for years, right? I know your mom has clients that she's worked with for a long time, right? Is that kind of how those conversations go, or are you seeing a lot of resistance, or are they pivoting to alternative financial strategies? I'd just be curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our big focus between our clients, my mom's book of business and my own, we are 100% goal-based planners. So we have different buckets of money, and we really believe in the philosophy that we don't invest certain dollars. You know, it's all on our time horizon. If we have maybe 5-year money that we want and ultimately want to buy that house, we shouldn't be investing it the same way we would our retirement account that might be 20, 30 years from now. So that's a really big thing. And I think we've been really good about that. And most of our clients, I would say, honestly, I only received 2 calls this entire time from clients. And they just wanted to make sure they wanted to talk to our investment team and make sure, okay, you know, how are we invested again? Because 9 times out of 10, our clients have no idea really the scope. They just remember, oh yeah, that's why we invested that way. That's right. I have this much amount of time versus this account is, you know, we're probably going to tap into this in the next few years. That's why it's more conservative. So our clients know that all of our accounts have a purpose, and that's why they are all invested completely differently sometimes. So luckily we haven't had to have those tough conversations of, hey, the money that you wanted to retire today, well, it went down 30% and you tapped into it. And the sequence of returns, if you love jargon, Google that one, it takes a hit. So we've been very fortunate. We've created strategies for our clients where if they're not lucky enough to be a teacher or, you know, firefighter, police officer that has some sort of pension, we can create a pension for our clients, because guaranteed income is one of the biggest stress reliefs that we can see for people. So we make sure that we provide some guarantees for our clients. So in times like these, especially, who would have ever thought this sort of black swan, right? But we create that steady stream of income that no matter what, they know that their bills are going to be paid, that they are going to stay in their home. And that's why we can be invested a certain way with their other dollars, because their take home is going to be the same no matter what. We can just maybe add to it sometimes.
Wonderful. Yeah, I sense that it was interesting, your commentary around the life insurance. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? So, I mean, have you guys seen a surge, like a notable surge, 10% up, 20% up, or some sort of percentage of growth, you know, at this time period right now with life insurance mm-hmm. products?
Yeah, we just had our monthly firm meeting last Friday via Zoom. And I think as a firm, our numbers were actually up like 30% for life insurance. And that was across the board for the entire firm. So considering everyone's working remotely, pretty darn good, right? I mean, these must be new clients or clients that didn't think they might have had enough at the time, because the insurance world is going to be changing, whether we like it or not. What we've been hearing, and most carriers across the board, they actually will not provide or be insuring anyone over 70 years old. That's not even, you know, old anymore. People are living well into their 80s and 90s, so they're not providing insurance for anyone 70 and above. Another thing we're hearing, which is, I think this might jolt a lot of people, is asthma. That would never have been an issue in underwriting before, you know, having asthma. Okay, you have an inhaler, you're fine. But if COVID-19 and coronavirus keep circulating for, you know, an indefinite amount of time, that's going to take a big hit on people with asthma, because that's your lungs. That's the one thing that, you know, the COVID-19 and coronavirus is attacking. So what does that mean for mortality risk? There's going to be some changes, and who knows what that's going to do. I mean, insurance carriers probably have to be repricing too. They didn't see probably all these extra death claims, right? That goes into all their analytics at the end of the day. So that's a big thing. And, you know, people want to do good. I think their intentions are always good, and protecting their loved ones, if something were, God forbid, to happen before their intended time to go. So there's always strategies for people. Just definitely a bummer for anyone in their 70s right now.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So I was actually, you read my mind, though. I was going to ask what the additional health considerations or mm-hmm. new, that have been added since COVID, right? So, mm-hmm. so asthma is one of them. Are there any others that are noteworthy that people should be aware of?
They do ask more questions on where have you been, who have you been in contact with, questions that they never would have asked before. But there is a lot of changes too, because people don't want to get their blood drawn right now. People don't want someone coming into their home to do a medical exam. No way. So a lot of things are actually done over the phone. And I know a lot of insurance carriers, I'm a broker, so I work with all the big companies. They're going to tele-interviews. They're using their analytics to see, well, let's get their last attending physician statement. Let's really look back in time and see if we can get them underwritten without any medical. So that's maybe some changes for the good. You know, maybe we're not going to need medical exams every time we get life insurance. Because I know our generation, the millennials, like, what? We need to take my blood in order just to get life insurance? It just seems archaic these days. So yeah. I think maybe that'll be for the better. Yeah.
Excellent. Now, I know you've kind of already answered this question with an undertone, but I want to make sure we're very distinct about some of these questions and answers, because these are truly some golden nuggets of wisdom that I know our listeners are going to, you know, at least take note of mentally, or if not, you know, hopefully you're actually taking notes on, because this is all great information. One of the things you specialize in at Tax and Financial Group is comprehensive financial planning. Can you just share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So comprehensive financial planning really coordinates a lot of moving parts, right? Life is very hectic as it is. So when you think, okay, how am I going to create the roadmap to ultimately get to, let's say, retirement? I work with, you know, my youngest client is actually only a month old. Yay. And our oldest client is 101 years old. So people are living a lot longer than they think they are. So what we do, even with young people indirectly, is you always think of retirement. That's a big thing. So retirement planning is really at the core of really what we're doing. And everything outside of that scope is, well, where are we today with our current financial situation? We're getting all of your goals and objectives. Where do you personally want to go? What do you want most out of life? Do we have kids? Do we have this big dream of leaving a legacy behind? Or do we not want to leave anything behind at all? Then we're looking at estate planning. That's what I tell my clients. Hey, this is the way that you can speak from the grave and make sure that everything that you intended to leave behind goes exactly where you want it to, without any resistance from probate, right? We're coordinating risk management. Let's say, Justin, our younger years, our biggest asset right now is our ability to work, right?
Yep.
This is, you know, we're the money driver for our own, you know, independence and our future, ultimately. So what if something happened and both my kneecaps got busted and I can't work for a significant period of time? How am I going to pay my bills? You know, my student loan company is not going to come knocking on the door. Oh, you can't work for a couple of months? That's okay. They don't care anymore, right?
Wouldn't that be nice?
I know. So we're just making sure, like, hey, if X, Y, and Z happens, would we still be okay? Could we still live in our home? Could our loved ones still have that same quality of life? So we look at risk management. We're looking at other investment accounts, so things outside of retirement. So this is, so these are other accounts that we're making sure are invested and are tax favored, because at the end of the day, we pay a lot in taxes. Well, not you in Texas anymore, but California, we pay significant in taxes that we want to make sure that we have a good sound tax strategy. One, not just, you know, for generations, but right now today is what's coming in. We need tax favored accounts. We want as much, you know, tax-free income as possible. And there's only a few investment vehicles that'll ever provide that, right? What Roth IRAs, life insurance. So there's only a few things that we can have tax-free, but we also need to make sure, well, we have to pull from appropriate buckets of money so we realize taxes appropriately as well. So kind of threw a lot out there, but really what comprehensive financial planning is where are you at today? Where do you ultimately want to get to? And we're looking at how are you invested? What's your retirement dream looking like? What do we want monthly? We're looking at estate planning, risk management, investing. So coordinating a lot of stuff for our clients. And we joke, you know, you guys have a full-time job. That's why we have a full-time job, to make your life a little easier and just less stressed, I think, is a big thing.
Wonderful. Yeah. And you mentioned some of these retirement account vehicles, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit more about that, right? Because I think you sort of start with what comprehensive financial planning, and then you sort of drill down from there into specific,
mm-hmm.
Accounts and strategies within the account, right?
Yeah. So I might be beating a dead horse here, but we all probably know of a 401k. Pretty familiar with that with our employer. Let's say we're self-employed, we can contribute to a SEP IRA that all of our partners have to contribute. We got simple IRAs, we have traditional solo 401ks, and my absolute favorite, if you can qualify, are Roth IRAs, which I think Roth IRAs are going to be really big right now because, one, I bet people will be taking a hit in 2020 in our income. And I think if anyone can still contribute, do it, because we have trillions of dollars that just came in from PPP and the EIDL. That's not just fairy dust money, right? I think at some point we're going to be hit with taxes, and I really think it's going to come out of our qualified retirement account, which is going to be, I don't want to use the word detrimental, it sounds so scary, but if we are, focusing on a 20% tax rate in retirement, and now it even goes to 30% tax rate, our money's going to run out much faster. So what's our plan at that point? Yeah. Well, I think it's everyone's biggest fear is outliving your money. That's the one thing, is you can't outlive your money. And I think we work with enough retirees to know that's your biggest fear. And that's, you work so hard to create this life and have these amazing accounts, but you see so many retirees scared to spend their money. They're terrified. And it's, or they want to leave some money behind for Jimmy and Sally and Joe. And it's like, well, we can do that. But you can still spend your money. We can use life insurance, use that stuff, pay pennies for the dollar. You need to enjoy your life. You need to still travel. And people are scared. They're scared to outlive their money. And it's a scary thing, because what's plan B?
Do you see that among all generations, or just mostly among the older generations? I'm just curious.
The young generation, I think what they're seeing, I would say, the boomer generation, if their parents are still alive, they're now taking care of aging parents. So that's a big thing that they're seeing, and whether that's coming into the home or they're giving caregiving service and not charging anything for it. But that does take a toll, because either someone's not working as much, there's someone new in the home, so maybe expenses are going up. So I see that fear a lot. And then you see maybe our generation of our parents taking care of our grandparents, and we say, whoa, I don't want to do that. I love you, Mom, but no way.
Or or people my age taking care of their millennial child. Living in my house.
Yeah. There we go. See, and that's a lot of stuff that, you don't think of expenses like that. And there's a lot of things. Those are actually questions we ask our clients too, is do we care for adult children? Do we still care for any of our adult children? Because I think we find more times than not, they do on some level, whether that's still paying rent, paying off student loans for their kids, and they still want to provide something for their kids. So that goes into your retirement plan, because that's money coming out of your, nest egg to provide for your cherished young ones.
You're sitting over there cracking up, Bruce. I can only imagine.
I'm sure you're losing sleep. Are you going to outlive your money? You're not thinking that. I mean, are you thinking that? Is there a millennial actually thinking that? Oh, shit. Am I going to outlive my money? I mean, is there? Unless they're an old soul millennial from past lives regression. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just.
Yeah.
Because
sometimes I hear.
It's interesting because, like you said, some of the millennials and Zs are really going to have to get with fucking reality and, like, hey, man, one, your mortality, you're hanging by a thread, right? COVID could come for anybody, too. And I think there's going to be another correction in the economy. I think there could be another huge ass, 2009-10 ass beating to follow here, possibly in a year. So, yeah, it's interesting because you can't, it's that moving target. You know what I mean? So, I retired from the Justice Department with the pension, Federal Blue Cross, matching funds. I stayed in there for the matching funds on the 401k. Fantastic, right? And I got one of my compadres got a phone call from a financial person like, hey, if you're single and you're 60 something, realize you can live on $10,000 a month. Anyway, so somehow my friend was duped by a financial planner to because he was single, And anyway, I'm like, why did you start taking out of your 401? You know what I mean? Once you start taking out of that, you know what I mean? You're foregoing the match, you know, some other things in that federal pension change, right? I was like, why did you do that? Now you're walking away from probably the penalties on that, you know, and he took it at like 61 and just, I'm like, oh my God, you're walking away from probably, I don't know, $500,000, you know what I mean? You know, as time goes. Anyway, so it's just, it's a real interesting thing about what the goals are, but it's kind of hard to set goals in a changing world, right?
Exactly.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. So some of those are going to be short-term goals, like, hey man, what you know, I would think, like, what do you see yourself, you know, going through the next 5 years or through your master's or your, mm-hmm. your doctorate and then moving forward, you know, do you want to, how do you want to live and stuff like that? So I think even the world as retirees have known it, you know, like it's a changing world out there. So it's really interesting on the goal setting piece, you know, what you do and what vehicles are there. So, so yeah. And it's sometimes insurance, there's this one insurance, I got insurance for both kids at age zero, you know? And it was like a 20 pay life, and that thing is now, it's lit. You know what I mean? It's
paid up, right? And now it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful gift, and that is like hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's just going to go right to them. That was a smooth move. So I would have never gone for an insurance product like, oh, this is a bunch of shit. What do you mean? But you know, some of those insurance products that do have a cash value. I don't even know if they make those anymore. You can speak to that. But anyway,
they do, and that was my little my 1 month old client. That's what they did is they purchased life insurance on their kiddo, and they're funding that sucker because that kiddo, right, they don't have a job, so they can't put into a Roth, but cash value life insurance,
that's right,
that comes out all tax-free. If you tap into your cash value, that's tax-free. And that's another thing for retirees. If you're going to pull out from your 401k in a down market, that's going to really take a hit on that account value. But if you pull from your cash value of life insurance, we're okay there. We can just reduce our death benefit by that amount, but we don't destroy our 401k. But it's a beautiful, especially when you have time on your side and you have we do that all the time for grandparents who want to do it for their grandkids. They want to give that gift because they understand insurance and they say, you know what, this is a long time horizon thing. You know, this is going to be their college fund. We want to provide 2 years of college. Well, we run the analytics. We can back in and say, well, if we put in maybe $3,000 a year, we let this thing ride and we stop it at age 18, this is the cash value that they'll be able to touch tax-free. And the biggest benefit I always see is it's not seen as FAFSA assets. So these kids, it's not an asset. It's the cash value in life insurance.
That's right.
The law form right there, I'd say, you know, I don't see, I don't hear enough people talking about, you know, leveraging investments like this enough anymore. So I'm glad that we have still people like yourself. And by the way, millennials like yourself that are out there carrying the torch proudly, you know, so to speak. So I'm going to pivot a little bit on you here, throw you another curveball. We're gonna go off script about the investments and all that for a moment, but you know, tell us about your most proud accomplishment, Tara.
Career wise,
it could be anything. More professional, or if you want to share both.
I think my knee jerk is my background. Like I said, is in special ed, so that was my passion, my love for my kiddos. So probably about a year ago, I started realizing how much I missed being in the classroom and started figuring out, wait a second, I can do special needs planning for families. So I started giving my time volunteering, helping families understand SSI, SSDI benefits, that's Social Security income, helping them understand those benefits for their kids, because if you know anything about an individual with a disability, they can only have $2,000 to their name at any point in time, or it completely disqualifies them from federal or state money, which is crazy. So these parents, every single day for us, you know, honestly, until they probably pass before their kids, which is the most stressful thing for them, is I'm making sure that my kid doesn't have more than $2,000 because they need to have medical insurance. They need to get all of these different benefits. And if I'm not doing it, who is? So I actually started putting together seminars in this last year just for families, just educating them on ABLE accounts, which are basically accounts that can be in the child's name and it doesn't disqualify them from SSI and SSDI benefits. Helping them with their financial plan and saying, well, when you're not here, who do you see taking over these roles? And it's a hard thing. I mean, parents stress about their, you know, their able-bodied gen ed kiddo, let alone a child with a disability. So I think that's, you know, my favorite thing I get to do is working with families with adult children with disabilities. Honestly, the most of it is helping them with their estate plan. It's saying, you know what, let's make sure that your child has this letter of intent. And just, it's kind of like your diary. Tell us about your kid. And if you're not here, how do you, you know, how do you want someone to interact with your child? What do you want for your child? Are there siblings? Are the siblings okay with taking over? Or are we going to go into a group home setting? So maybe I'm okay at tough conversations. Maybe that's the, you know, I'm going to throw in being a female into it. We have that nurturing side where I can have these tough conversations with parents.
Yeah. I was in a situation with where one of the people had a developmental disability. They're about ready to mm-hmm. die. And then having a family settlement agreement with the attorneys, right? Because that this person that had the disability was stood to inherit millions of dollars. It was kind of an odd deal, but yet, oh my gosh. But at the end, there's always complications at the end with other family members, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, if you can, you know, not only the investment piece and the money is there, but also a safe harbor for the individual so they don't get their money robbed from other family members. So.
Exactly. And obviously I'm not an attorney, so I can't speak on legalities of things. But what I'm saying is you nailed it. It's a special needs trust. Putting something together for your child where they're not disqualified from funds. Yeah. And also, I mean, we've seen plenty of times we look at estate plans and how many times they've been amended to, let's say there's only two kids, right? To 50-50. And then they amend it and it's, well, you know, your sister needs more, your brother needs more, so let's make it 70-30. And all of a sudden, before you know, most of the assets are going to the child with a disability. And then there's already animosity there. Because most likely that sibling is going to be, you know, the trustee. And now they're the wallet holder and they're providing the funds, and it's just to allow a sibling to remain a sibling. And parents always want things to be as fair as possible, and it already breaks their heart that their child is born with a disability.
So you need to go to law school now. You can become an attorney and do the last will and testament, everything cradle to grave. Whack.
I'm going to do it all for my, and you know, in my perfect world, if I could make my practice strictly retirement focused and special needs planning focused, I would be.
I think that's genius. I mean, I think it's an underserved population. I think, mm-hmm. you know, you could, I just don't see people on every corner, at least in my world, that do that kind of work with that type of a specific population that has the backgrounds, academic background and credentials as you do. I think that's a fantastic area of expertise and client base, man. Justin, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's a big achievement, and that's a really underserved population that you're servicing. So that's awesome. My hat's off to you.
Every once in a while, I come up with a decent question here and there.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. That's a.
So speaking of that, I have another curveball question for you, Tara. What's your favorite? Tell us about your favorite story of failure.
Favorite story of failure.
Yeah, it could be like you know, flat on your face, or you know, but probably something that, you know, we all have them where you failed and you grew.
You learned, you know, so much, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, okay. I guess I'll go to work again, because I mean that's. Your work kind of becomes everything for a significant period of time before you have kiddos, right? Like, this is my baby for now. It was one client that we were going after and was already our client. But, you know, I think you forget that people are always going after people all the time. like Bruce, you said your friend got called by a financial planner, and who knows if he was already working with someone. And we were doing a lot of planning for this, you know, this particular client. And I thought we were doing so great and we had such a good relationship. And then one thing leads to another and, you know, they're going dark. I'm like, this is bizarre.
It was
modern day work ghosting. I've never been so devastated. And so,
you've never been ghosted? That just shows you the standard of this world, because us men get ghosted all the time, especially when it comes to dating, okay? So, you know.
Hey, guys are the ghosters. Women get ghosted.
The ghosters.
But basically, that was it. I feel like, and this was a huge client account. This was supposed to be, you know, over $20 million of assets coming over. This was going to be like my big account. This is something I was working so hard for. And then come to find out that they went with one of those big names at the banks, right? And I just felt really bummed that the communication stopped. So ever since that experience, I always preface to my clients, open communication. I want you to tell me the good, bad, the ugly. If you aren't happy with something, or if you just aren't into it anymore, like you think you're interviewing me, but
like a relationship.
Little, you know, I'm also interviewing you too. Do I want to work with you?
Yeah.
You know, I want to work with someone that also wants to work with me too. And that's going to communicate and be honest. It is. I think I like dating all my clients, I guess. Oh my gosh.
It kind of is, you know, I've shared on many of those before, a lot of, especially in relationship management, and it could be in a romantic sense, it could be in a business professional sense or whatever it might be. It really is kind of like that, because you're trying to set the table for boundaries and communication standards and all that. And it's, you know, it's complex, and unless you can get that piece right, you know, you might be thinking you're doing, like to your point, you're doing a bang up job. And really what you don't know is they're shopping around behind you. You know, they're window shopping everywhere, right? So I'm sure that was a valuable learning lesson for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't take things too personally.
Right. Never take things too personally. Mm-hmm. Very good. I know we got about 4 minutes left here. So I want to know, you know, you as a financial planner, I'm sure you do all kinds of personal planning for yourself, right? One of my favorite questions to ask is how you approach business planning. So we're not at year end now, but maybe you could say year beginning, right? It's still kind of year beginning. Some people are doing or quarterly rituals, reviews, and forward planning for yourself, not just for the business, but for yourself.
So what do I usually do for myself? I mean, I'm a big goal setter, so I'm all about goals. As cheesy as it is, vision boards. I'm a believer in you manifest what you really think. But I do mine at the end of every year. So leading into my next year, that's my big thing. The holidays actually isn't really slow for me, because it's year end. Everyone wants to get things done business owner wise. They need their write off. They need all these, you know, last minute things that I've been telling them since like June. But that's my big thing, I think, is I set my goals and I write them everywhere. They're all over my office. I have my Q1 goal, Q2, 3, 4. It literally looks like just papers spit everywhere in my office. But I don't have meetings in there. That's why. So I use my conference room. So that's really my big thing. I've always been a budgeter. I've always been really frugal. So I'm a firm believer of live below your means.
Our generation, do we, Tara? I don't think I've heard a single millennial, certainly that's come on our show, talk about living below their means. Have you, Bruce? That's the first one ever.
I think, Bruce, you know, if you said there's those old souls, I've always thought I'm an old soul. I am. I've always been a saver.
You kind of have an old soul feel, yeah.
So I'm an old soul, you know, but I do like the nicer thing. That's my traveling. I can go without. I'll make my lunches. I'm going to drive this car I've had for the last 10 years. Could I get in a car? Sure. do I need it? No. I'm going to drive that thing until it putters out on me.
Right.
I mean, paid off. Why not? So I like to live by example. I can't be telling my clients, don't overspend if I'm over here.
Right.
Living beyond my means. So, yeah, I think, and my special ed background, you got to lead by example. And at the end of the day, I used to educate my kiddos. Now I'm just educating grown adults on making good decisions.
Grown kiddos. Same thing.
Grown kiddos.
We never grow up. Yeah, we never grow up. We're always kids.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wrap. Justin, you want to?
Yeah. So I guess the final question, you know, here, Tara, is, you know, why don't you let everyone know out there where they can find or connect with you personally and or Jackson Financial Group if they want to learn more?
Yeah. So once again, in Newport Beach, California. So if you just honestly Google Tax and Financial Group, you will come across us. So we're easy to find. My bio is on there, but my email is pretty simple to find on there. And if you guys have any questions, feel free.
Wonderful. Tara, it's been such a pleasure. I'm so glad we finally did this after so much time in planning. great having you on the show. Just loads of knowledge. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right, Bruce, why don't you take us home?
All right, folks. Well, that was another fantastic episode here on the Concierge Coaches Show here today on LA Talk Radio. Stop by our social media platforms, the Concierge Coaches on, let's see, we have Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and of course, listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. It'll be available for you to download. Also, the shows are archived on the LA Talk Radio site. Justin and I have our own page on Channel 2, so you can come and listen to all our shows there as well and download the MP3 file. So, awesome. Well, thanks for coming by. We look forward to seeing
you. And now the streaming, too. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. But also now cool. I was to see the streaming, right? So we're live streaming now, and you should be able to download and view all our live streams broadcast.
Where will those be at? Will those be on the site?
I don't know about the site, but I know they're on our Facebook page now. So I've been posting.
Okay. Come to our Facebook page. There's another reason. Awesome. All right, then. Well, again, everybody, have a great week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.